Good morning, Cannon Beach Community Church. I'm so thankful to be with you as we prepare to enter into the start of another new year together. You know, for many of us, January 1st marks the beginning of a fresh start. It marks an opportunity for us to embrace the year in a new way and to create new patterns, to cultivate new patterns in our lives that will shape the way that we live. Some of us call these patterns resolutions. Some of us call them disciplines, but whatever term we use, these intentional commitments in our life can serve us greatly in our walks with the Lord. Experiencing transformation in our lives isn't something that happens just through the influx of information, but it requires prayer. It requires reflection and intentional embodied practice in our lives as believers. The start of a new year gives us an opportunity to reflect upon our lives and to ask God to show us our lives with fresh eyes, to lead us into a place where we can create new patterns that will help us to experience the Lord in a new way this year. It provides us an opportunity to seek the Lord in prayer, to discern what He's inviting us into and what it really means to live through Him. This week we begin what will be a 6-month journey through our third volume in our immersed reading. If you haven't been with us as a church, last year we made our way through the New Testament and the first 5 books of the Bible. And now we're going to continue our journey together as a church by reading the books of Joshua, Judges, Samuel, Kings, and Ruth. In it, we'll see God's plan unfold as He leads His people into a new place. A place where they can serve as a light to the nations, where they can show all people what it truly means to follow the Lord. Up to this point in Israel's journey, they've heard about the Promised Land. They've even seen it with their own eyes. But it isn't until this point, right here in Joshua 1, that they finally enter into this new land that God has prepared for them. Now, I want to pause here just for a moment to recognize the fact that leading into a new place can be incredibly frightening for us, whether that's related to your health or whether that's related to a new place in your marriage, perhaps your spiritual life. It takes a great deal of faith to trust the Lord to lead you into a new place, to lead you into a place of change and transformation. Joshua 1 begins where the book of Deuteronomy left off. Moses has passed away and God has fulfilled what He promised in Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. And He has gone before His people and prepared a place for them in the Promised Land. As a Christian, it gives me great confidence to know that God is already at the place that He's calling us, that He's already at the place that He's leading us to. We don't have to be discouraged. We don't have to be afraid because He goes before us, just as He goes before the Israelites into the Promised Land, just as He goes before the disciples into Galilee following the resurrection. He goes before us this morning and He says to us, "Peace be with you," as we enter into this new place, as we enter into this new season, this new land that He's prepared for us. "Peace be with you. Do not be frightened or discouraged, for I will not fail you. I will not abandon you, and I am with you always." So it's in light of God's presence in our life that I want to invite you to pray with me. Lord, we love you. I am so thankful that we can say that with our lips. We love you. Father, thank you that you reveal yourself to us, the power of the living word. Thank you that you call us to go and that you go before us and that you invite us into relationship with you, that you invite us into a life in a new place with you, unlike anything we've ever experienced before. Father, I pray that you would teach us what it means to be strong and courageous, what it means to walk in obedience, to not be afraid of those that would stand up against us, but to know that you are with us, that you're here even now as we worship and praise you together this morning. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's a light to our feet, that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank you that you are shepherding and guiding and teaching us as your children, Lord. We're listening. We're listening. Help us to see what you've prepared for us this morning. Help us to live boldly and courageously as your children, people who've been saved by your grace and your mercy in our lives. Help us to stand firmly upon the foundation that you've provided for us. And may we declare to the nations and exalt your name together. We love you, Lord. We love you. We love you. We love you. Thank you for this journey that we're embarking on together. We pray this in the powerful and holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our reading this morning comes from Joshua 1, which you'll actually find not on page 1, but on page 3 of your immersed Bibles. And we're going to look together at verses 1 through 9 together, which says this. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, your servant is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving you. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you'll be on the land I have given you, from the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea to the west, and all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead the people to possess the land that I swore their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning to the right or to the left. But study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you'll be able to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. The book of Joshua begins by intentionally establishing Joshua as the new Moses figure in the life of Israel. Moses has passed away, and Joshua is going to continue his mission in leading the people into the promised land. Similar to Moses, Joshua sends spies into the land. He parts the waters of the Jordan River. We see this later in chapters 2 and 3. Joshua does this intentionally to show us the continuation of Moses' ministry lived out in the person of Joshua. Joshua is a leader that God speaks to directly, one who receives God's promise, who demands and commands God's people obey the covenant they established with the Lord. You see, Joshua is a new leader in the life of Israel. But in reality, Israel's leader, their true leader, hasn't really changed at all. It's the Lord who has been leading and shepherding and guiding them all this time through Moses. And the Lord will continue to guide them well into the future, even after Joshua passes away. When God comes to Joshua in chapter 1, he says to him, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land that I swore that I'd give them. Wherever you set foot, from the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains to the north, or the Euphrates River to the east, to the Mediterranean Sea and the land, wherever you set foot, you'll be on the land that I've given you. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. For the Israelites, the promised land represented God's inheritance and his sovereignty. Twice God reminds Joshua in this passage that the place he is, the place that he is, everything that he has is something that God has given him. Wherever you set foot, he says, you'll be on the land that I've given you. As I listen to those words, I can't help but think of the inheritance that we have through Christ Jesus our Lord, the firm foundation that we have through him. By his great mercy, it says in 1 Peter 1, by his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the power of the resurrection. By the power of God through faith, he is protected and held in heaven for us, an inheritance that will never spoil or fade. It can never be taken away. With Christ as the cornerstone of our lives, we have a firm foundation to stand upon, a rock that can weather any storm. Wherever you set foot, God assures Joshua, you'll be on land that I've given you. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you. As I listen to those words, I realize that every moment in our lives has purpose and that we're never truly alone. I wonder how we would live each day differently if we realized that the place we stand moment by moment is the place that God has given to us. That every conversation we have, every relationship we enjoy, our work, our play, every aspect of our lives is a gift that is given to us by God. So it's in light of this that I want to ask you, how are you stewarding the life that you've been given? For the people of Israel, the Jordan River and the armies of the Canaanites seem like insurmountable obstacles for them. But even the fortified cities of Canaan could not stand before our God. 3 times God tells Joshua, be strong and courageous as he enters into the land. Now, I've been married for a number of years now, and I've learned that if my wife repeats herself once, that means listen to what I'm saying. If she says it 3 times, gentlemen, what does that mean? That means highlight it in your mind and don't ever forget it, right? This is that moment that God is saying, don't just hear what I'm saying to you. Never forget what I'm saying to you. Don't let it ever leave your mind. Let it dictate the way that you live. Be strong and courageous. So often we find ourselves so focused on the wind and the waves of life that we never experience the joy of walking by faith. We look at our circumstances, we look at the obstacles that stand before us, and we convince ourselves that they're too difficult to overcome. We hear God's invitation to go with him into a new place, and we wonder if it's ever really possible. Be strong and courageous, he says to us. Be careful to obey all the instructions of this book. Do not deviate from them, turning to the right or to the left, but meditate on this book of instruction day and night. Study it continually so that you'll be able to obey everything that's written in it. Only then will you be successful in everything you do. When I first came to our church a little over a year ago, and David began to tell me about this Immerse program that we were going to dive into at the start of the year, I have to admit, I was excited, but I was also afraid. I was afraid. I was nervous because I knew that questions would come up that I didn't know the answer to. I'm not the pastor that sits on the stool and knows the answer to all things because I don't. I knew that people would wrestle with some of the very same things that I was wrestling with. But I was also excited because I knew firsthand the power of the Word of God to transform our lives. I knew that Immerse would require me to dig deep into God's Word and to allow Him to reveal Himself to me in a way that I'd never experienced before, to lead me to a place that I'd never been. God didn't give us a spirit of cowardice. He didn't give us a spirit of timidity. He gave us a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. Last week, I encouraged you by saying that if you haven't immersed yourself yet in the Word of God, if you haven't made a regular pattern in your life of reading to do so this year, I'm not saying that to you just because I want to have another number in some program that we're doing as a church. I'm saying that to you because I believe strongly that God wants to lead you, that He wants to lead us as a church into a new place in our walks with Him. But we can't do that alone. We need to study His Word continually. We need to meditate on it day and night and allow His truth to shape us even in the stillness of the night. Only then will we be successful. Only then will we be faithful in all we do. When I first started reading my Bible regularly, it didn't make any sense to me. It seemed like it was a foreign language. I struggled to apply it in my life and to make it a priority. In fact, I spent the first year and a half of my life as a believer just crying out to God, saying, help me, Lord, to fall in love with your word. You changed my life the moment I opened it and read it, but I struggle to read it even now. Lord, help me. Teach me what it means to love you, what it means to walk in obedience. Be strong and courageous, he says. Immersing yourself into something new and sharing your lives with others can be incredibly frightening. Investing yourself into the place that God has given you takes both courage and strength. It requires you to be intentional, to seek Him continually, to humble yourself and allow Him to teach you what it means to walk in obedience. When it comes to reading your Bible, I've found it helpful to incorporate it into something you love. Read it out loud. I know that sounds silly, but it helps. Read it out loud. Take it with you on a walk outside. Don't put a limit on how much you read or how little you read. Just spend time with the Lord and allow Him to speak into your life and listen to what He has for you. Allow the Word of God to wash over you. I've got my seminary friends in the background, and they know firsthand what it's like to have your Bible become your textbook and to read it and exegete it and study it for a purpose and to miss out on the truth of what God has for you in that. Just let it wash over you. Don't try to figure it all out. Just listen and obey to the good things that He has for you there. When God comes to Joshua, He doesn't say to him, "Study this book when you have time or when you feel like it." He says, study it continually. Treat it with the same priority in your life that you give brushing your teeth in the morning. How many of you, don't raise your hand because it's kind of embarrassing. How many of you didn't brush your teeth this morning? Right? And if you didn't, that's okay. We love you. Welcome. Right? But chances are you're probably not going to not brush your teeth tomorrow. Right? We give it that much priority in our lives. And why don't we do that with the Word of God as well? That this is the nourishment that God has for us. And so we need to make it a priority. You see, God says to us, meditate on the Word. Meditate on it day and night so that you'll be able to obey everything that's written in it. One of the reasons that we start each year by investing 5 months into Blessed is because when we read the Gospels, this is the way that Jesus does ministry. He's prayerful. He spends time listening to people. He eats with them. He shares His life with them and serves them and reveals the truth of who He is. This is how Jesus does ministry. Blessed is more than simply writing names down on a piece of paper. It's an intentional lifestyle. It's a way of walking and living in the footsteps of our Savior. It's part of the DNA of who we are as a church. When God comes to Joshua, He says to him, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. When I talk to people about living out this blessed lifestyle that we talk about here today, this Sunday morning, I recognize that it can be frightening, that it can be uncomfortable to pray for people, to actually eat with them and share your life with them. As a pastor, I talk to people all the time who tell me that they aren't evangelists, that they haven't received the gift of evangelism. But I want to tell you now, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, guess what? You are an evangelist. You are a living testimony of the gospel. You are an ambassador of God's grace and truth, an ambassador of reconciliation. When I think about what it means to be prayerful, I envision Jesus praying for us, praying for His disciples in the garden. When I imagine what it means to listen to others, I see Jesus in Mark 5 sitting with the hemorrhaging woman and listening to her whole story as she opens her heart to Him. When I think about eating with people, I'm reminded the power of table fellowship, the power of a community table. When we just sit around and eat together, you see it all throughout the Gospels. Jesus understood the power of table fellowship. And when I think of service, I envision Jesus washing His disciples' feet, dying for us on a cross. And I'm reminded that sharing His story, that sharing our story isn't meant to be an act of obligation. It's meant to be an act of love. When Joshua led the people across the Jordan River, which he does in Joshua 3, he says to them, "Today you'll know the living God is among you." Think about that for a moment. Today you'll know the living God is among you. Let us live in a way that expects God to accomplish great wonders in our midst and reflects His presence to the world around us. Let us steward each moment with intentionality and purpose, recognizing that moment by moment we stand at the place that God has given us. Let us not fear those who stand against us. Let us not tremble before the enemy, but let us know that our God is victorious, that He can overcome any obstacle that stands in our way in our lives. And as we walk by faith, let us be strong and courageous. Let us know that He has gone before us, and let us seek out His instruction continually. Let us meditate on His word day and night, abide in Him and walk in His truth together, knowing that He is with us always to the very end of the age. Let us pray. Father, we rejoice in knowing that we're not alone. Father, we confess that at times it's just easier to stay where we're comfortable. It's just easier to stay where we've always been, but You're inviting us to a new place. You're inviting us to seek You through Your word, that You're inviting us to grow alongside brothers and sisters who can hold us accountable, encourage us in our lives as we walk with You. And so, Father, help us this year to create a regular pattern, a regular discipline in our life of spending time with You. May it be just as much a priority for us as brushing our teeth in the morning. May a day not pass without us thinking, why didn't I do that? Why didn't I experience the nourishment that You have for me this year? Teach us what it means to seek Your instruction continually, and help us to be strong and courageous. Help us to share the blessed lifestyle with those around us and point them to You. Point them to the beauty and the power and the truth of the gospel. Lord, we thank You that You laid Your life down for us. We thank You that You rose through us through the power of the resurrection, and that You invite us into a life of new birth, a living hope through the power of the resurrection. And so, Lord, help us to receive the inheritance that You provided for us. Help us to live by faith, to reflect the goodness of who You are to the world around us. And may those who witness the power of Your Spirit moving in this place, the power of Your Spirit moving in the life of the church, may they declare, as Joshua declares, today we have seen the living God among us. We love You, Lord. We praise You, Lord. We pray all of this in Your most holy name. Amen. So next up, we're actually going to let you take this into practice. Embodied practice leads to transformation, right? So you'll notice that on your blessed sheet, it's perforated. Did I say that word right? Right down the middle. And we're going to actually encourage you to tear that off at this time. If you've written